This question opens the door to a lot of acceptance and understanding, which are two building blocks of trust within a relationship.
Welcome to What I Love About Sex, where some incredible guests and I, Steph Kanowski, will be bringing you the tools for improving your sex life with topics such as sex issues with your partner, sexual self-confidence, premature ejaculation, sexual shame, masturbation, sharing your fetishes, orgasmic pleasure, and more. Sex is still so taboo, and I personally believe that by improving our understanding and communication skills around sex, we can enhance our own self-pleasure as well as deepening our long-term romantic relationships. So listen in, try to stay open-minded, and let's get started.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode on the What I Love About Sex podcast. I want to share with you a question that I find is really, really helpful in good case scenarios and bad case scenarios. So I'll let you know what that means. But the question is, in your imagination, what would this look like? And I'll explain how you can word it a little bit differently depending on context. So first, let's take a context of you having a disappointing conversation with your partner. And let's say that one of you feels one way, one of you feels another way. And what often causes this is expectation, different expectations on both your parts. So if one of you had certain expectations and the other didn't fulfill them, there will be disappointment and vice versa, right? And then you might have your partner upset at you where you're like, I have no idea why she's upset. And in this case, this question can be really, really helpful because it will help you understand her expectation so that you know what's going on in her head and you can understand why she reacted the way she did. Let's say like you're having an argument, for you to ask the question, in your mind, how would I have acted differently that would have felt good? And then you can compare it to how you actually did act. And not to say one is right or wrong, but it just gives you an understanding of how you actually acted and what she was expecting you to act like, right? So by you framing the conversation or by you framing the question, in your mind, what did you imagine I did for you instead of how I acted? Like in your imagination, how did this scene play out differently? And she might say, well, I was hoping you would do this, and I was thinking you would do this, and I was expecting you to say this. And then you could talk about it, right? And that's somewhere to go from in terms of conversation, because then you're no longer butting heads. You're actually understanding one another and showing each other that you do have different, you know, opinions and different expectations, and you don't always react the way that your partner would like you to, and your partner has to understand that. So it's just this question opens the door to a lot of acceptance and understanding, which are two building blocks of trust within a relationship, because we're not always going to have the same expectations. We're going to let our partner down regardless of how hard we work on the relationship, regardless of how much money you bring in to support the relationship, regardless of anything, you having a really great day and you still might do something that disappoints your partner. You can't control everything, and you have to understand that disappointment needs to be welcomed and understood because it's normal. It's a normal part of a healthy, functioning relationship. When the disappointment comes, you just want to know how to handle it in a way that isn't playing the blame game back and forth and saying, oh, well, you're crazy. Like I did this and that. Like, you know, you get to the point of calling each other names and you're just going back and forth, stating your own point of view when it doesn't matter because your partner's not seeing your point of view. They're seeing their point of view. So you both have to agree to understand why each of you saw it differently and then be able to maybe say something like, you know, in your imagination, you expected me to do something different, like A and B. and I'm sorry I didn't do that. It wouldn't make sense for me to do that, but I still love you and I still want you to know I care about you and I don't want to see you upset, but I'm sorry I didn't meet your expectation. It's okay to say that. It's okay to say, I'm sorry you're disappointed or I'm sorry you're frustrated, or it seems like you're really frustrated. That must be hard, you know, without saying sorry. So these are all ways we can react to our partner by understanding instead of taking personal blame, because that's also something we tend to do if we don't know how to react to a troubled situation. We just immediately go in defense mode, right? Because we're like, we take it personally. We make it about, oh, she's saying I did something wrong and I'm not wrong, you know, and then you attack. Instead, it's like, no one's right or wrong. We just have our own way of viewing the world and we have our own expectations. And if you can remember that no one's right or wrong, we just have to understand each other, that's going to save you a lot of headache and a lot of frustration and disappointment in your relationship. So that's one way that you can use the question, however you want to phrase it, you know, in your imagination, how did this play out differently in your favor? What were you, in your imagination, what were you expecting me to do instead of what I did? Those are ways to word this question in this context that I just mentioned, which is a disappointment conflict context. So now let's look at it in terms of an exploratory context. Like, let's say that you are talking to your partner and you want to understand her. You only know so much about her and you're not sure if you know exactly what she wants, then this question can help in this case too. And you would phrase it something like, in your imagination, what does our exact ideal sex life look like to you? If you can ask that question and give her some time to think about it and respond back, then that's a way where you can actually learn about her because she's giving you the description herself. There's too many couples who go into sex communication asking questions like, do you like when I eat you out? And the partner's just like, yeah, I like it. And they give kind of this answer that the partner who asked is still not sold on it. They're still like, oh, I didn't like the way that she answered. It was kind of weird. And like, she didn't seem like she was totally into it, but she said it was like pretty okay. So I guess that's what she likes, you know, and you still walk away with this confusion or just not completely satisfied of knowing exactly what your partner wants or how they feel about things. So if you ask a question like in your imagination, what would a great sex relationship with me look like? Then your partner goes into description detail. If you can ask her and she could start thinking out loud, like, well, we'd probably do it 2 times a week. We'd feel relaxed when we did it and it would be fun. Maybe we would laugh sometimes during it. It would feel playful. And maybe she's explaining it. And then after she explains it, it gives you that opportunity to be like, I love how you mentioned playful because I would love for it to be more playful too. How could we make it more playful? Like, what comes to mind for you when you think of our sex life being playful, right? And then you get to ask these more specific questions that come from that imagined scenario that she created for you. So it's like, the hard work is in that descriptive part. And then you kind of just pick it apart with specific questions so that you get a deeper understanding. So see how this is so much more powerful than asking a question like, do you like our sex life? Do you think it's good? Do you want more sex than we're having right now? Those types of questions are yes, no questions, right? Or they just kind of end with a, yeah, it's good. And then you just both leave it there. And what real understanding do you have from, yeah, it's good? You know, there's not much to that, not much to work with. So getting descriptive and detailed is so important when it comes to having sex communication. Because often too, when our partner asks us to describe something that we want around our relationship, chances are the thing that's most important will come to mind first, right? Or the biggest disappointment will come to mind first because it's the biggest thing that we're worried about that we want to change. So we're more likely to say that first if it's top of mind for us. Basically, like if you ask the question, how would you imagine our best sex life to be? That allows her to say first what's most important to her. that type of question. Because you kind of just put it out there, like she could say anything. If you ask a question that's targeted around oral sex or around a certain toy, or, you know, would she ever like to be spanked? That is a direct question about something too specific to start off the conversation. So you don't know if she really wants to go down that road of talking about that thing, or you don't know if she really, if that would come to mind for her. So start off with the more generalized, in your imagination, what does our best sex life look like? And then when she starts mentioning certain things, then you ask specific questions about those things. And, you know, I hope you could see that this, in your imagination, what does this look like, is a great question. Or in your imagination, how would this have played out differently? This is a question that really helps you go back to the place of empathy and understanding, being patient, right? Because this is a question where you might get an answer that might rile you up, and you just have to remember, it's not about you. No one's right or wrong. It's really your partner's feeling a certain way about themselves, and you just have to understand them because they're your partner and you love them. And sometimes there will be disappointment and you'll feel flustered. Maybe both of you will feel the same way. But even in those moments, there's nothing wrong with saying, oh, okay, I know we're both flustered about this. I know we're both frustrated right now, but let's try to stick with it and let's try to understand each other. We don't have to fight to see who's right. No one's right. We just have to understand each other and walk away feeling good about how we're understanding each other. That's it. That's always the goal. If you can remember that that's the goal, is to understand, not to prove yourself you're right, then this question will be really helpful for you to use. And your partner will also feel much more heard and relaxed and safe with you because you're building that type of trust. And you'll feel safer with your partner too. And you'll be able to trust your partner more when you have these types of conversations. Because look, someone has to take the lead. You know, saying something like, hey, I know we're both frustrated right now. And I know we both don't want to be talking, but let's just try to understand each other and make that the goal, to just understand where both of us are coming from. So if that has to be you, then take that lead. For every partnership, there's someone who takes the lead a bit more, and that's okay. And, you know, you do want to get to the point where it is each of you like working as a team. So if someone's having a weak moment or a bad day, the other person helps pick them up and maybe takes the lead on that conversation. But don't be afraid to take the lead the majority of the time. And not only don't be afraid, but don't feel resentful. Because I know there's a lot of you guys listening who are like, yeah, I always have to take the lead on conversations like this. And like, she never does it. And like, blah, blah, blah. But you're the one going out of your way to learn more and to grow in this area, right? You're listening to this podcast. So if you're the person who's doing more of the learning, then that means you automatically end up doing more of the implementing. And your partner will catch on if you do it in a way that works for your relationship, because your partner's going to realize, wow, I like communicating this way, or this feels good to make the goal understanding each other instead of screaming at each other until someone wins, or ignoring each other until someone admits they were at fault. Like, that doesn't have to be the end game. And I think that builds a lot of resentment in relationships. Then couples stop having sex and they stop being intimate. Just take that away. You know, take that pressure away from both of you. You don't have to win. You just have to understand each other. And there are questions like the one I'm talking about today that help you understand each other and stay focused on understanding instead of winning. I hope that spoke to you, that you remember it. Write it down. You know, it's an easy question that I said you can use for disappointment circumstances or exploratory circumstances. And it can be really helpful. In your imagination, what does this look like? And then you could change the question or alter it a little bit however you want, or you don't have to. So hope you enjoyed the episode. Have an amazing morning, evening, or night, wherever you are in the world. I'll talk to you soon.
I hope this episode helped you. If it did, I would love for you to leave me an iTunes review. It would mean the world to me. You can also screenshot your favorite episodes and tag me on Instagram at Steph Ganowski. And before I go, remember, your sex life is as good as you make it out to be. Until next time.